open. Catch, touchdown.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
I just don't remember anybody doing what this young man has done so far in the league.
It's fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs as we officially turn the page to the 2020 offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if you're aware of this. Going to be defending Super Bowl champs this season.
I am aware of that, Todd. And I also am aware that I am not turning the page. I bought a new book, and it's very empty. We're going to start writing soon. We're going to start writing the chapters.
I thought maybe about Matt Derrick's book.
Matt Derrick's book would not be empty. It is full of
stories. That's when you said I bought a book, and I thought you were talking about like actually reading it. And I thought you were going to reference.
Look, I'm not going to lie. The first thing I am going to text Matt Derrick when I finally get a hold of the book is I'm going to be like, why isn't it a picture book? I want more pictures
right,
in the book.
I demand
not words, just pictures.
I demand a graphic novel of the Chiefs season.
Ooh, but that's got words in it too. So that's a. Solid.
It does have some, but
yeah,
you know.
It's too much already.
All right, I'm sorry.
Exhausting.
Yeah, you know what else is exhausting?
You.
Doing this podcast with you some days.
Yeah.
I have this structure and this plan in place because that's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm a structured and disciplined.
The most structured individual I've ever met in my life. Guy that stumbles into work sometimes. And by stumble, I mean.
Only when I've been drinking.
Todd is joking. He does not do that. He's never done that at work. I meant when he walks into the building.
I actually don't even drink. So.
You definitely do not.
So.
That's one of the many things I'm proud of you for.
But it's a fun joke for me.
You know what? Hey, keep on keeping on there, pal. Keep on keeping on. But this is a Chiefs podcast, so we are going to talk about the Chiefs.
Right, and look, I mean, some of this conversation is going to sound familiar because we're going to start off here talking about team needs, and then we're going to talk about some of the tough choices the teams have to make with players who are currently under contract before we resume checking the tweets.
Check the tweets.
And, you know,
right
so...
Now.
So the first part of the conversation, though, about what the Chiefs' team's needs are, stop me if you've heard this before. I still think the Chiefs' two biggest team needs are linebacker and interior offensive line, which we've pretty much been saying for 18 months.
Look, I
don't know. Cornerback was a pretty big need in the offseason last year. But, I mean, linebacker and offensive line, in your mind, are those still the biggest team needs looking forward to 2020?
Well, Todd, first thing I'm going to tell you is that linebacker is definitely number one. It was number one in that article I wrote that you can visit at kshb.com/Chiefs. Ah, I was going to say backslash, but you said slash for me. So, ta-da. So, number one.
Was I supposed to say Chiefs?
No, okay. I wasn't going to force you to do that.
Okay.
I'm thoughtful like that. I don't try to force you to say catchphrases.
That's all right. It's Andy's catchphrase.
It is.
So I'm okay with it.
I'm excited to see what you come up with someday as your own catchphrase.
Oh, I've got some. They're just not safe for a clean podcast rating.
You should definitely keep those to yourself then.
I am. So.
Yeah. No, I mean.
Moving on, yes, Nick.
No, number one I still had is obviously linebacker. The 49ers really, really. Exploited that in the Super Bowl, especially with the play action pass, trying to get him a bite on the run fakes and then creating that void to where Jimmy Garoppolo could do his numbers to hash passing clinic. Come on down to Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers to hash passing clinic.
Where did he get that?
On Wednesdays. No, what?
Where did Jimmy Garoppolo get that idea?
I don't know. That's just what his skill set is, his numbers to hash. No, but I mean, linebacker wise, they're going to have to find a more athletic linebacker. To pair with Hitchens more than likely. I like Damian Wilson. I know he's going to come off the field in coverage a lot. He's a physical presence, good run support. So is Ragland, but coverage wise, they're both not ideal.
Right. I mean, I think ultimately the Chiefs can probably keep one of Damian Wilson or Reggie Ragland, but you can't move forward with both. I mean, they're kind of a redundant player at this point. I mean, you know, they're downhill guys who will come and lay a hit on you, and you don't mind having that physicality on your defense, but the minute they've got to turn and run with a tight end or running back.
Sprint like the wind.
Yeah, I mean, they're a problem. I mean, and look, to be clear, it wasn't just the Niners who exploited this. I mean, think back to the Green Bay game and you know, think back to you know, the way the Chargers used Austin Eckler at times and stuff like that. It was a consistent and glaring weakness that, that other teams exploited during the season. So, I mean, obviously they're not going to be able to get a guy like Isaiah Simmons, who's a former safety turned linebacker at Clemson. He's probably going to be a top five or top 10 pick, the kid out of Olathe North, who's now at Clemson. But you're looking for somebody in that vein, right? That, that's more athletic, that can still, you know, come down and play the run and be an asset there, but can also then go back and run with a tight end or run with a running back and not just, you know, give up chunk plays all the time when they are forced into coverage.
Yeah, I mean, you want a guy who can stay on the field and you don't have to limit or cut their snaps in half. You want them to be able to stay on the field at all times so that you can you can be consistent and not have to force teams to scheme you into certain packages to exploit you. So ideally, that's what you're going to want with the linebacker spot.
Isn't that pretty much the essence of Steve Spagnuolo's defensive philosophy anyway? Versatility. You want guys like Tyrann Mathieu, who can you can use in a variety of ways so that you can disguise coverages and so that you can mix things up. And so that if a team is you know, if you're struggling with something, Tyrann Mathieu has a skill set where you can say, okay, well, we'll just move him into this role. And you want to be able to create that at the linebacker position, too. You want that, you know, along your defensive line, too. You want guys who are versatile to give the defense options with how they're going to play week to week and even half to half sometimes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, but unlike Bob Sutton's defense, I think that that versatility is even more critical for what Spags wants to do.
Yes.
All right, well, a man of many words, Nick Jacobs over here. But
I'm trying to keep us on time, Todd.
So, but you got the linebacker position, and then number two, is it still interior offensive line in your mind?
It's cornerback for me, just simply because I think they have options that they can work in an offensive line. Corner, I think, is something that actually isn't on the roster, just like I don't think linebacker is definitively on the roster. So I think those are the positions that if you do address in free agency, these are kind of the ones that I think you kind of put some money towards. I mean, cornerback-wise, Travarius Ward, I feel, is kind of more of a number four corner. He can kind of help outside in some regard, but he's not I just don't think he's the guy that you want to go up against the team's number one, and you want to have day in and day out. Rashad Breeland, I like him. If they can find something where they can find a number where it's cost-effective to where he gets paid, but it isn't elite money and it isn't top-tier money in that regard, because he's a mid-tier corner that's physical, reads somewhat well, but he holds.
Are you thinking 6 to 8 million?
I would not go over 8 million yep. per year for him. So, and that's not a slam on him. It's just that's just kind of
the reality
where his skill set is. And I mean, somebody may overpay on the market for that because he's a Super Bowl corner. They want that pedigree there. They want to have a guy who's been to Super Bowl that other people listen to. I'm just telling you, his problem is he grabs a lot, like not to the level Orlando Scandrick did, but he grabs, and he doesn't always trust his net technique as much as he should. And athletically, at some point, it's gonna the two combined are gonna cause problems.
See, and I would argue interior offensive line is a bigger need because I'm not convinced that. We saw what the Chiefs defense was able to do with the corners that they have. I'm not sure that elite cornerback is a must-have in Spag's system. I do, however, think that protecting Patrick Mahomes moving forward is an absolute must. And I agree, there's guys like Nick Allegretti that you still have hope can make a difference, and maybe they bring back a guy like Stefan Wisniewski or something like that. But we saw Andrew Wiley. He played well at right guard last year, but struggled to find a place this season. And I think, you know, I mean, I think they're going to have some depth issues there on the interior offensive line as this offseason goes along. We'll get into a little bit more of that in the B block. But is interior offensive line then the number three spot? And is it still the biggest need, you think, for the offense?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's number three. Yeah, interior offensive line I put down as number three. Because I still think they do need multiple starters to help protect this guy called the franchise. I like to call him the franchise. Some people call him Showtime. Some people call him Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I see. I call him
the franchise.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Matt Moore.
No. So anyways, the franchise quarterback, yes. He is the individual that I, for me personally, if you're going to pay that type of money to him, you got to keep him healthy. Got to keep him upright. So in terms of number one need on offense, yes, that is number one need on offense, is to make sure that offensive line you can figure out a way from a protection standpoint to make it as good as that 03 as you can. You don't have to pay the same amount of money in this era to get that type of production. You just need to, you got to decide, do you want guys who are still, it just, for me, this offensive line, the number one thing that they have to figure out is they need guys that are all going to be on the same plane in pass protection. This guy isn't, you know, three steps forward. This guy isn't three steps back. It's uneven, and teams attack the interior like they always do every year because they just don't seem to keep a consistent pocket outside of the tackles. The interior three really struggle to keep a good pocket. So teams know how to manipulate that, and they attack the tackles a certain way, and then once they get those guys wide, then they start attacking the guards another way. And then this guy's, you know, this guy's 3 yards back, this guy's at the line of scrimmage, this guy's 2 yards back, and the reason that makes it so difficult is a guy can't step over and pass off or catch a defender because he's already by him at that point because that right guard is too far back. So, I mean, that you need players that understand spatial awareness and can work in tandem together for that to be effective. And you also need them to be able to identify it like Stefan Wisniewski was able to. He could be helping the Eric Fisher at left tackle, and then he sees this flash come across with a guy getting ready to loop it and just shuts it down. Shuts it down. So, You need to figure out more of that, and like I put it center in the article or in one of the articles, I can't remember, I've written too many of them. You need a center that can hold the line of scrimmage one on one on a zone and doesn't get pushed back in to the quarterback.
Right, because when you have guys at different levels, it opens up gaps that make those twists and stunts more effective.
Which is what they were trying to attack all along. It's just they were manipulated into creating those because you watch on tape how they who gives up where and who settles here when they set here. You can manipulate it.
Yeah, and then you also open up interior pressure from A or B gap blitzes, and that's when you've got guys coming up the middle, that's what forces Patrick Mahomes to have to scramble out. He can't step up into a pocket if the pocket isn't there to step up into. Mm-hmm. And that's when he's great when he gets outside and freelances, but that's also where the risk for injury and for him taking a big hit also goes up.
Correct. And that's where the 49ers really kind of showcased something. Some of the teams in the AFC West and some of the teams that are wanting to compete against the Chiefs long term, they're all going to start thinking about, can we go find some faster pass rushers that can close that pocket quicker so that we can take advantage of that too.
Are there any other critical needs in your mind on this roster that have to be addressed to give the Chiefs the best chance to maybe have another parade next year?
Those are my three biggest that if they accomplish those, I feel a lot more comfortable about where the team is overall. Now, selfishly, the number four thing I put on the list was wide receiver, just because I think the more speed you can add, and when I say add more speed, I'm not saying you have to have four Tyreek Hills. I'm saying you need somebody who
can take four Tyreek Hills, though.
You would take them. But you don't need them skill set wise. Like, for example, what I'm saying is, like, you want somebody that can be more of a contribution than McColl was in terms of reps and stay on the field. You want somebody that can break in and out quicker their routes than DeMarcus Robinson did and have a better understanding of some things.
And catch the ball.
Yeah, that's another crucial point. And then, you know, you want somebody that's an upgrade over Byron Pringle, and you're not trying to replace these people. You just want to have as many upgrades because you need to continue to evolve this offense to stay ahead of defenses because teams they're scheming the Chiefs. They're watching what the 49ers did, and they're like, okay, how can we duplicate what the Lions did, what the Patriots may have done, or what the 49ers did? How do we make that happen next year? So the Chiefs, you have to continue to evolve on both sides of the ball so that teams can never get a true beat on you.
All right, and I think this is a good place to break because that wide receiver conversation is also a big part of what you do with some of the guys on the roster. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some of the salary cap decisions that Brett Veach and the front office face this offseason here on 4th and 1.
News, your home of the Chiefs.
When winter weather strikes, it can make life difficult, sometimes even dangerous. Our job as meteorologists is to track everything going on around you, minute by minute, 24/7 on every screen.
Right now, we're tracking those icy road conditions.
This winter, trust us to bring you Kansas City's most accurate forecast, keeping you safe when it matters most. 41 Action News, Kansas City's weather leader.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs, and we're talking about the Chiefs and 2020 roster construction and some of the things that that either they're going to have to do to give themselves a chance to to try and repeat, or that they're going to have to do, you know, just because of salary cap considerations moving forward. This is the last year of the current CBA, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens and how agents and players approach this offseason, because the salary cap should go up in 2021. And I think a lot of players are going to want to kind of see how those negotiations go, because they're going to want to make sure if the salary cap goes up significantly, for example, if the players decide to agree to a 17th game and stuff like that, you know, you could see a very sharp increase in the salary cap beginning in 2021. And if you're a player, you probably don't want to sign a 3 or 4 year deal that's going to limit you getting your share of that bigger pie that may be coming after this season. So I think that's going to play a role in it. But right now, the Chiefs still have to figure out what they want to do with some key players on the roster. Because if you want to sign Patrick Mahomes to an extension, you know, and keep these couple years and then extend them another 3 or 4 beyond that, which may be possible, you're going to have to probably prorate some of that signing bonus money into this first year and into the next year of the contract. So you've got to think about that. So who are the top three guys in your mind that they've got to make salary cap decisions on?
Well, first thing I want to say in some regards, and if you want to check it out, you can go on the website and go in more in depth about team needs and also the salary cap decisions.
That's at kshb.com/Chiefs.
That's right. I'm going to let Todd be the one who formally says that every time because he remembers the slash correctly.
Because I'm a shill for the website.
Todd is digital, digital. He works on digital.
I'm actually wearing leotards right now. You probably can't see it, though. Through your phone.
If you're wondering why I'm so hyped up right now, I had a soda for the first time in 3 weeks, so I am like it.
I also spiked it with additional caffeine pills, so
it's working. I am chipper. No, but like the first thing I said in the article that I kind of want to relay here, not as in depth as it is, in my opinion, when you're putting a roster together financially, You only want to pay elite or near elite money once at each position group. Like, I think that's all that you'll be able to handle. When you sign somebody like Patrick Mahomes, who's potentially going to be in that 30 to 40 million range, depending on the cap hit of the season, he's essentially paying for the average of three very quality players.
Right.
So you can't, like right now the Chiefs have Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill both making, you know, Tyreek's going to make 16, 17 range this year, and Sammy's is at $21 million in cap it. You really don't have the luxury going forward once that contract's done to be able to pay multiple guys at the position group, elite and top.
Once the Mahomes contract is done.
Right, once the cap hits in another year or two. So you financially have to start thinking about that now and for the future. So that's where you're going to, whenever people ask about Chris Jones, that's something you're going to have to think about, because you're paying Frank Clark over 20 per year. So if you pay Chris that too, you got to take that money away from somewhere else. And
you're already doing it at offensive line, because you're already paying premium money for Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz.
And
we'll get to that, because I think he's one of the top three guys that he's due, what, $14 million or something this year, but they could cut him, and it would only cost him $5 million in dead money. And given that his production hasn't lived up to the value of the contract, I think he's one of the three guys that Veach is really going to have to consider moving on from, like he did Justin Houston and Eric Berry last year.
Right. So first one is Sammy Watkins. You're going to make a decision there. Ideally, you would love to do an extension, drop the number over the next couple years, but I guarantee his agent is going to be looking at what the value is in the market and what he could get on the market at 26 years old. But, I mean, Sammy has struggled to stay healthy each year and be able to play a full 16-game season either season. So that's kind of a problem. But he came up big in playoffs both years, and
right.
That's kind of where there's a give and take there to where you got to try to find a number. And if I'm in their shoes, I'm trying to figure out a way, where can we drop the cap number to 8 to 10 this year and try to work something out and keep him back here in that regard. But if you have to go over 10 per year, then I'm personally of the belief that, you know, you may have to have Mecole Hardman step up and move forward in another direction.
Right. I mean, so Watkins is heading into the last year of the 3-year deal he signed.
Cap hits $21 million. Yeah. Potential savings if they release him is $14
million. Yeah. So essentially what the Chiefs, if they wanted to, say, extend him for 2 more years and then make that a 3-year $30 million deal and, and convert, use some of that money in a interesting way with, say, converting some of it to signing bonus or something like that, that would allow them a little more flexibility with how they spend that money over the years. Maybe that works out, but I'm not sure if I'm the NFL Players Association or his agent that's a deal I'm willing to take when there could be another 3-year $48 million deal that you could get from somebody if you get cut and hit the free agent market.
Correct. So that's going to be the little tango there till. So probably March 18th, 20th range.
Yeah.
You're going to have to decide on that one.
And that's when the new league year officially starts. That's when teams can sign free agents. That's when teams can officially execute trades. That's when the fun really begins.
Officially, yes.
Yes, on March 18th. I mean, you'll hear about trades before that to the extent that those trades are agreed to, a la Alex Smith a couple of years ago when the trade was announced, in early February, but... it couldn't be executed until mid-March. So.
Yeah. Next guy on the list I have is Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. He is cap hits $9 million this year. Potential savings would be $5 million. John Dorsey signed him the year that he signed Eric Berry and CJ Spiller. They all coincidentally shared the same agent and
right.
signed within the same week. And Eric was last to sign. He signed a day or two later after Duvernay-Tardif. What I personally think, Duvernay, in my opinion, got overpaid at the time. He got paid to be one of the top guards in the league. In my opinion, his production wasn't at that level then. And when you're looking at this number right here, you got to make the decision. Yes, you're going to lose $4 million in cap. I mean, you're going to not have the full $9 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to get $5 of it. But you want to do that now to give yourself that flexibility next year for some of the cap numbers you may have to structure depending what you do with some players. So, and here's the other thing: the production that Duvernay-Tardif was given, you can, in my opinion, you can get at a much cheaper rate from somebody else.
Whether it's moving Wiley back there, assuming you make him exclusive rights free agent or something like that, because he doesn't have a full 4 years of service time yet. You can make an offer to him and bring him back, or you see where Allegretti is, depending on what you do with the center spot, because Allegretti could also be a solution there if you, say, move on from Austin Ryder, depending on how you feel about that situation. But who else do you think is in line as a possible cap casualty?
Well, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with Alex Okafor coming off his injury.
He's got, a $7 million cap number next year?
He's got $7.21 million cap number. They're only going to get $3.21 back. But again, that's something you're kind of – that $3.21 million you get back is that money that can go towards paying Emmanuel Ogba type of thing. Can we use that money to pay Emmanuel Ogba to get more production than
–
Okafor is a good pass rusher. He can't hold up against the run, and you can't pay $7 million for somebody that can just occasionally pass rush.
And if you've got a pick between Ogba and Okafor, I don't think there's much of a conversation.
No, Ogba's the more complete player.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you're keeping one, then he's the clear choice. And you got to remember, you're also getting Breland Speaks back, who they kind of liked, and they felt like it was going to be a fit in this system. So the need at defensive end.
Well, Speaks probably going to be more of a DT.
Well, but you're getting more help on the defensive line, and you're getting some guys with some versatility, and. The need to keep these veteran guys isn't as high as it was maybe last year when you were trying to bring guys in and you weren't sure whether Colin Saunders would be able to contribute, and you're having to bring guys like Mike Pinellan off the street, midseason, just to shore up that rotation.
Right. Next one on the list is linebacker Damian Wilson. Financially, $5.38 million hit. If they release him, they'll get $4.5 back. That may be to pay for another linebacker that you get on the market potentially. So that may be something that you have to entertain to where you take that money you were going to give to him and you pay it for a linebacker in free agency.
And do you, I mean, because his number is much bigger than Reggie Ragland's, do you?
Well, Ragland's a free.
Yeah, but in theory, you're not paying Ragland $5 million a year.
No.
So does that factor into the decision that, you know, if you're going to keep one of those two guys, or do you just jettison them both?
I think you move on either way. We'll see what they do. They may hold on to Wilson and just sign somebody new, but I think you need to get more athletic at linebacker overall.
And part of the problem they're having is Anthony Hitchens' contract. They can't.
Yeah,
it's not realistic to get out from under that this year.
Not this year, because they got him to lower his number last year so they could fit some things under it. So yeah, you're gonna have to Hitchens. You're definitely gonna have to stick with regardless.
All right, so where else do the Chiefs need to look if they're going to try to find some cap savings moving forward?
Well, I mean, here's a name that I personally, you're just going to have to discuss it, but I don't think it's somewhere you go very far, is safety Daniel Sorensen. His cap hit is 4.75. You get 3.75 back if you move on. But with the injury to Juan Thornhill and how instrumental Sorensen was at times in the scheme and how comfortable he looks in the scheme with Tyron, I don't think that's a conversation that terribly goes far, just because I think he was a key contributor this year and he can continue to be that. He hasn't proven that he's fallen off yet, so I don't think that that's the road to go down.
Well, I also think that he's a guy that Dave Tobe may step up and say, hey, he's a key guy for my special teams. I really need him. I think that's another place where Anthony Sherman, I think he's a free agent, but I think they look to bring him back for the same reason, because even though he's not used a whole lot, his value is on special teams. And I think Sorensen and Sherman are the kind of selfless guys, egoless guys that embrace that role, make big plays in that role, and then also contribute on offense or defense that Dave Tobe is going to step up for. And look, I don't think either one of those guys are breaking the bank for you, given what they bring to the team. So.
Yep, and then Cameron Irving is another one. He's supposed to be the backup swing tackle or hopefully starting guard somewhere. I think he's more of a guard that you kind of use. I don't think he can play tackle. I don't think he's got the quickness to do it. He struggled at it. So with Irving, he's a $4.68 million cap hit. You get 3.25 back if you moved on. I think that's somewhere where that's I think you have other options on the roster that you can, at least with Rankins, and then obviously the guy picked up from the Colts, Jackson Barton that they picked up from the Colts. I think there's some opportunities to try a different direction at a cheaper rate.
I was going to say, I think a lot of people forget a little bit about Martinez Rankin, because he was playing some really good football before he got hurt.
Right.
And I think people kind of forget. I think he could, if you move on from from Laurent Duvernay-Tardif or something like that, he's a guy who I think you could slide in at right or left guard.
Correct.
And he's already shown to me that he's capable of being a starter in this league.
I think he can definitely play guard on this roster, and I'm curious.
And
to
he
see
could
him.
Be your backup swing tackle potentially
I
too,
think
right?
He could also potentially play some tackle. He started to before he got hurt in that game.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see when he comes back from injury. I think there's a possibility he could be one of your starters.
Right. And then, you know, like we said, if you re-sign Wiley and some other guys, and then, of course, you can try to find some versatile athletic guys deeper in the draft. I think Brett Veach had a really good draft last year. I think his 2018 draft is looking a little bit better, too, now that you've seen it in kind of the system that we suspect most of those guys were drafted for. Although there are, you know, look, Dorian O'Daniel obviously didn't seem to find a home this year. But Ben Neiman's another guy who made some big plays late. So that was, you know, if you count him as part of that draft group, I think that the last two drafts have looked a little bit better, and you hope that he can continue that momentum and maybe find another interior lineman or maybe a backup swing tackle in the mid rounds of the draft.
Yep. And if you haven't looked at the article already, you can find the final two on the website, kshb.com/Chiefs. Good job.
And we're going to do, you know, we're going to keep this up all through the offseason, just like we did last year. We're, you know, in a couple weeks, we'll be talking about the combine. Then we'll be going through college free agents and how those players might fit in with the Chiefs and who might be available for the Chiefs, you know, where they're picking down the road. And then before you know it, the draft is going to be here. And, you know, everybody's going to be right back into rookie minicamp, OTAs. And look, listen, guys, training camp's right around the corner is what I'm saying.
Training camp's still ways off. It didn't. Training camp didn't feel real till about the end, till about the 4th of July, for me.
All right. Well, I in the meantime, enjoy rolls at spring training.
Okay, I'll try.
All right. Hey, we'll be back here on 4th and 1.
Action News, your home of the Chiefs.
When winter weather strikes, it can make life difficult, sometimes even dangerous. Our job as meteorologists is to track everything going on around you, minute by minute, 24/7, on every screen.
Right now, we're tracking those icy road conditions.
This winter, trust us to bring you Kansas City's most accurate forecast, keeping you safe when it matters most. 41 Action News, Kansas City's weather leader.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And
that's me.
Nick, we took a little time off from Check the Tweets because things were a little hectic with the season-ending football game. Can we say Super Bowl? So, I think we can say. This is an editorial product. We can say Super Bowl.
Sure.
The NFL has a lot of weird rules.
Okay.
The big game.
Okay.
Big game live.
Okay. Sounds good, Todd.
All right. Sorry. Anyway, Nick, what time is it?
It's time for another edition of Check the Tweets.
All right, here we go.
Our first question, Todd. We are not doing a back and forth this time. I'm going to try to regulate, Todd. We will see if we can or not. This one's going to come from Tanner Graver. If it were up to you, how would you address the offensive line this season? Who would be your starting five? And I'm just going to, and he said backup speed, but you can go starting five.
Yeah, I don't know that I can go too deep quite yet. Yeah. But look, I would, if it were up to me, I think you could save some money if Allegretti can take over at center. I think you've got to look at that. I think you try to bring back Wiley at right guard, see if he can tap into that magic from 2 years ago. I think you try to pencil in Martinez Rankin at left guard, hope he can be healthy. And then, of course, you got Schwartz and Fisher at the tackle spots. So that's where I'd start in this offseason, looking at that as my starting five.
All right, Todd, my starting five would be Eric Fisher at left tackle. Your starting left guard for the Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs, Stefan Wisniewski.
He's a free agent, though, so they sucked. They'd have to bring him back.
They're going to hopefully bring him back for this to work. Center, I would have Nick Allegretti and try to work with him in that regard. Right guard, I would obviously put Rankins in there, and then Rankin, and then potentially see if he could rotate him and Wiley to try to find the best in the competition, and then at right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz. Yeah. That would be the starting five.
Well, and look, if they do bring back Wisniewski, he brought a level of toughness and an attitude to that offensive line that I thought was big down the stretch and maybe didn't get enough publicity. So I don't mind your starting group.
All right, moving on. Our next question is going to be from Country Boy 567. Country Boy asks, what's the most realistic offer you'd accept for Jones?
Well, I mean, look, I think the starting point, if I'm looking to make a deal for Chris Jones, is I'm looking at the Khalil Mack deal and the Frank Clark deal, and I'm looking at what they got back in return, and I'm saying he's probably not in line for Khalil Mack type return, but I'm going to look for something along the lines of Frank Clark, you know, which was a first and a second last year. So I think that's where my starting point would be. And then you hope that there's multiple teams interested, including some with, you know, with high round draft picks, and you try to get them to sweeten the pot, so to speak.
Now, I will say you would love to ask for a first and third. I would not be surprised if you have to go for a 2 and a 3 or a 2 and a 4. So I don't know if Chris Jones on the market is going to command what people are wanting in a potential Frank Clark type of trade or something else. I think you'd have to hold on to Chris Jones, throw it before the draft, and hope that there's not enough interior impact that teams really want that. So I don't know I don't know if the market is going to be multiple high-round picks for him. I think that's what people are expecting, but I don't know if that type of market is going to be out there. I hope it is, but I'm not personally expecting that.
I mean, I think a lot of it depends on who's interested and how they want to use him. Because if you're looking for a guy, if you run a scheme where you prioritize having a defensive tackle who can hold the point of attack in two gap a little bit, Chris Jones isn't going to be a good fit. If you prioritize a guy who can get upfield and be disruptive and boost your pass rush from the interior, you may not be able to find a guy who can make an immediate impact the way that Chris Jones potentially could next year. So if you're a team that's picking in the middle of the first round and you feel like creating that disruption in the interior is like the key piece to putting you over the top to being a contender, I could see somebody, overpaying a little bit in that situation if they feel like Chris is definitely the guy.
I hope you're right, Todd. Time will tell. And our final question comes from Eric Martinson, who asks, Assume you could have the best player in the league in any position. How many positions are worth paying top dollar due to their overall impact on the team, and what are they, i.e. Mahomes?
Well, quarterback's obviously number one. Mm-hmm. I would say edge rusher is number two. And then I would say cornerback and left tackle. Those are probably your four biggest premium positions as far as value to an NFL roster.
Yeah, from what a wise general manager told me a long time ago, the five spots you typically pay in the NFL, quarterback's always your number one, you're willing to pay the premium. Edge rusher is always your number two, you're willing to pay the premium. Three, cover corner has moved up to that premium. Left tackle is probably in that potential 3 to 4 range. It just depends on how special your quarterback is and how athletic they are. And then finally, normally the fifth spot has started to actually become wide receiver, that you have somebody that the quarterback can routinely rely on. So those are typically your top five spots in the league. Chiefs are going to be paying top dollar for Patrick Mahomes. They're paying a pretty good penny for Tyreek, and they're paying a really good penny for Frank Clark, and they're getting a good contract from Eric Fisher. So the one spot that they're not paying that elite money right now is a corner. They're paying it at safety for Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah. I would say that worked out well.
So, it did work out well. They got a Super Bowl ring and everything. So, that is all for this edition of the Check the Tweets. Any final thoughts, Todd, on this edition of 4th and 1?
No, I'm excited to talk about free agents and who we think they should bring back and who we think they should try to upgrade. We touched on a few of them, but we're going to go a little bit more in depth next week. And then it's Nick Jacobs Prospect Christmas the week after that.
That's actually not what they call the event. I would appreciate
I'm sorry. It's the NFL Scouting Combine.
I would appreciate it if they changed it to that. That would be a real honor for me.
Yeah. Prospect Christmas. Yeah. Nick Jacobs Prospect Christmas.
The 20th annual Nick Jacobs Prospect Christmas. Come on down.
Live in prime time.
Live in Indianapolis, Indiana. Sponsored by St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
So, yeah, no, that sounds much better than college eligible meat market.
Yeah, no, you probably don't call
it. Stay away from that social media branding.
Probably don't call it that there, Todd. I'm glad you're not in charge of the NFL marketing.
Hey, it would get people talking.
That is definitely one way to look at it, Todd.
All right, guys. Well, we hope we've enlightened you a little bit and entertained you a little bit, and we're now going to move on to other things, and we will talk to you next week.
Until next time, I bid you adieu.
Nick with his $5 award. Take care, kids.
How about those Chiefs?
All right, time's yours.